As we said, the title of the sermon this morning is Playtime is Over. And I'm not that old, and I can still remember the time that I was playing with my bricks, the Lego, and then I was playing with my football. It was a great time. I could play. I had my own fantasy life. Planes, they don't fly, they float on water. And boats, they could fly through the skies. I have lived in my youth time a fantasy life that had matched no other. And when we're young, we tend to make our own fantasies and they come to life. But at a certain point in your life, you come to an age that you have to realize that boats don't fly. They drive on the water. And that trains don't go through the air, but they ride on the railway track. When you come to a certain age, you mature and you have to see things not for the fantasy that you have conjured up into your own mind, but see things for how they really are. Now, when it comes to our faith life, don't we often play? Last week I read a letter about a famous theologian in the Adventist Church. He was pretty prominent and he went all around the world. And this person has for years and years proclaimed the message that you should be faithful in whatever you do for the Lord. But he himself committed an act of sin and now people doubt every word he had said in the past. And I've read his letter of resignation to the church and he wrote down, he said, what I did was so terrible, it feels even worse than death. If we take our faith life, religion in general, lightheartedly, if we, let's say for other words, tend to play with it, disastrous things could happen. And in this sermon I want to go with you through the Bible and to see how we can avoid playing with our faith. Because the times we are living in is a time that really playtime is over. Paul wrote to the church of the Philippians in chapter 2 that playing in general sense but also in faith must be avoided at all costs. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Nothing be done of your own jealousy or your own desires or your own lust or whatever you come to your own mind. Let nothing be done by that. We avoid, and we only avoid, living in a world of fantasy if we accept that we are less important or of the same importance as others. We have to be humble, as Paul said, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And it's important, just as when you grow up and you grow up out of your childlike life, that you come to the realization that what you put into your fantasy life isn't real, the same thing is with your faith. When you started and you accepted Christ in the beginning, it's, yes, I want to go with Christ, I've been baptized. Then the next phase starts. You need to grow. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 2. And I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. It says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. That meaning, if you're still in your old situation, if you're still in your old way of thinking, you won't grow. For it says further in verse 3, for where there are envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? You cannot grow if you're still linked to the activities and the thought patterns of this world. If you want to grow, then you have to know for the realization that what had done in the past was like mere fantasy, but what Christ is offering me is the true reality. Last week, Elma and myself, we went for a talk in a youth center, and there was a boy, and he asked my wife and I all kinds of questions about faith. He was a Muslim, but he did that, couldn't suit him, so he became Christian. And that didn't really suit him either, so he was thinking about Buddhism. And he asked Elma and myself all kinds of questions about faith. Who created God? Is the Bible really the word of God? Can I trust the word? He got all kinds of philosophical questions. He wanted to look for philosophical questions. But when we asked the question, do you simply accept the love of Jesus? He became a bit quiet. When we grow, we need to grow with Christ. Only then do you avoid playing or starting to play in your faith life. As Paul writes in Hebrews 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, saying, when you come to a certain point in your life that you have learned from the word of God, that you can bring that message to your fellow man, your neighbors, the people in your neighborhood, that we ought to be teachers and teaching the word of God, that you need to teach someone again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have to come to the need of milk and not of solid food. Meaning, you grow with God, you grow with the principle that is God, and then you start growing with Him. But you soon stop growing. Otherwise, verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is still a babe. And don't we often see that in church around us? People come to the realization, yes, I want to live with Jesus, I want to follow Him over the ends of the earth. And then the time comes for Bible study. Oh, I will pass Bible study this time. And then there is a Wednesday meeting prayer night. Well, I'm going to pass the prayer meeting also. They say, I have accepted Christ, I have enough love, I don't have to grow. But this text say, for anyone who partakes only of the milk is unskilled in the word. And if you're unskilled, the tendency to play and to act only increases. And we can only avoid that playful state of mind in our faith lives to a change in character. 1 Peter, the second chapter, the first verse. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. A simple question. Do you really have accepted, really enjoyed that the love of God is gracious in your life? For yourself. Because only then you know that you're not heading for a playful religion, for a playful faith that is not well grounded in your faith life. Well, there are 7 dangers for Christians who are heading for playing with their faith. And one story I want to direct ourselves this morning is a story you know very well. It's a story about Lot in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. We all know the story. Lot, who went with Abraham to the land that was promised him by God, And that Lot, who knew the stories of Abraham, he heard about the stories about the land of Eden, the Garden of Eden. He heard the stories about the flood and how Noah was saved with his family. Lot heard the stories, immediately from Abraham, about the Tower of Babel and the confusion that happened in that time. Lot knew what and how he should live, what it would mean to be close with God. And still, we read in Genesis, when there was an argument between the herds of Lot and the herds of Abraham, and that it couldn't be gone on that longer, that Lot looked around, and he looked at the city of Sodom, because it was as beautiful as the Garden of Eden, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. If we are not grounded, we do not see the things for what they really are. The first danger in playful religion, playful faith, not being serious in what you believe in, is not seeing things for what they really are. If Lot's eyes were opened, he knew what was said in Genesis 13, verse 13, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. It may be looking like the place of the Garden of Eden, but there was no righteous that could be found in that city. Do we, as Adventists, living almost at the closing times of this earthly history, do we really see the things what they really are? Or do we have the tendency to be complacent? That we think that we know it all. And that all we can do this time, that we can fill in what God wants from us. Lot was a spiritual blind person walking into Sodom. And Sodom was just as the place of confusion just this day as modern day Babylon. Just as Lot, we live in a place where veil and deceit, and we live in an immoral and sinful world. And we know that the large majority doesn't live like God intended. They are not renewed in their thinking. And we think that we won't get be blinded by those influences that are pressing upon us. That we don't get blinded by the beauty of this world. And that's why Paul said to the church of the Philippians, let nothing be done to strive or vainglory. The second danger is the danger of that people don't take your warnings that you might give them seriously. If you live in Babylon, in a place of confusion, in a world of confusion, and you are partaker of that situation, not totally, but you, let's say, skim the sidelines, people will find your warning that you might give them a bit strange. You give me a warning, but you're almost acting the same like us. Why are you calling us to leave Babylon if you seem to be skimming the sidelines as well? We know from the story of Lot that angels convinced Lot, well, listen, the place where you live, that's a sinful place. They even tried to, those two angels who went to Lot, the people even tried to do immoral acts with them. Lot was slowly and gradually being shown by the angels that he was living in a place of sinfulness and deceit. And from the moment he realized, Sodom is going to be destroyed. it's danger. I need to warn people. I need to warn my family, because the first thing that comes to mind is warning your family from upcoming danger. So what did he do? He went to this family, as written in Genesis 19, verse 12. And then the man said to Lot, "Have you everyone else here? Your son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whoever you have in the city, let them take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Realization came. I have to warn my family. I have to warn them from upcoming destruction. Just as we know as Adventists that something big is going to happen. At least I hope that we believe that. Verse 14. Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-law, who married his daughters, and said, "Get up, go out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But his sons-in-law seemed him to be joking. How can we bring a message of leave Babylon, leave the sinful system, if we skim the sidelines? If people don't see a clear difference between those who are with Christ and those who are without Christ, people will not take your message of warning seriously. If you play with your faith life, people will have a hard time of accepting the message. And we live in a time where there is actually no time to lose. But not only if you don't play with your faith, it is a difficult time of sharing your message. People tend not to be alarmed by the warnings they will receive. But that doesn't mean that we should be stopped preaching. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. "For the time will come that some of them will not endure the sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from the ears from the truth, and shall be turned towards fables. But watch thou in all these things, endure afflictions, and do the work of the evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry." People who are minds or not converted by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit cannot handle the truth. And the truth is not always something sweet and nice. But it is still the truth. And we who go to church from Sabbath to Sabbath must accept the truth of the word in every sense, even though other people are playing with their faith. The truth, which is Christ, is the only one that saves. Accepting his word and his loving will, that means that others could have the chance to be converted. Sometimes we feel ourselves in the position of Lot, sharing a message and no one wants to hear, but we shouldn't fall back. Even if others play in their fake life, we should stand up for the truth. The third danger of playing with your fake life is that playing with your faith won't save you. We don't often talk about the wife of Lot, but we know that she turned back towards the city of Sodom that was being destroyed, and that she was turned into a pillar of salt. It is hard that she left the city and that her heart was still desired and longed after the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. She left the place physically, but she didn't leave the place spiritually. We must remember very earnestly one thing. Faith is more than being on time for the Sabbath school. is more than being quiet and reverent during a divine service. Faith is more than only talking about heaven and acquiring knowledge. Faith is not a game. It's not a Nintendo Wii or a PlayStation game where you can turn on the computer, play the game, and if something goes wrong, it says game over and you start over again and over again and over again until you get 1,000 bonus points and get in. It's about being humble and giving your life to Christ and say, Lord, I want to leave this sinful life. I want to leave the place called Babylon spiritually, physically, mentally, and I want to give over my life towards you. We need to break free from the constraints that bound us to this world. We need to leave Sodom. We must hate sin as much as God hates sin. We need, as Paul writes to the Colossians in the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse and onwards, if we've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And set your affection above the things above, and not on the things of this earth. For you were first dead, but your life is now hid with Christ in God. And when Christ is our life, and only then, when he shall appear, then she also may appear with him in glory. If we don't set our affliction wholly and truly on Christ, then we can get to the point that we deceive ourselves when Christ calls upon us to leave Babylon. And then, just as the wife of Lot, in the end, we look back and turn our eyes away from God. The fourth danger is that God wants our hearts and not our acting skills. I hope that when we come to church, that we come here from our own free will. That if somebody was hitting you with a stick and saying you have to go to church, that you had the full desire to fellowship with the brethren and sisters in the communion with God and to praise His name and study from His Word. That we are here because we acknowledge that we say this world is not our home. And then we come here in church and that our internal computer was like in tune with the will of God. We want to be here, we want to praise His name, we want to study His Word. Though some people tend to go to church and faith, and they see faith more as an event and sort of an action to enter heaven, and they fear punishment more than they fear God. The scribes in the days of Jesus did their duty. They have read from the Torah, they opened the scrolls. But did they have an intimate relationship with God? We should stop acting. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. For in the last days, Paul writes, people were having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For this sort are those who creep into the households and make captive of gullible women, loaded with sins and led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We should stop acting, learning and never coming to the acknowledgement of the truth. It's like reading the encyclopedia and not knowing what Christ wants in our lives. We need to have an intimate relationship with Christ. so that when we read the scriptures, that we can apply it to the Holy Spirit in our lives and draw men unto Him who saved us. The fifth danger. You are keeping yourself out of heaven and others as well. We know that Jesus was pretty harsh towards those scribes and Pharisees. Those who play with their faith. The Bible also called them hypocrites. Saying one thing, showing one thing, but in their heart actually they're desiring something else. Those people are slowly heading for destruction. And Jesus, He tried to open, to pierce open the eyes of those Pharisees and to see the terrible condition which in they were. Matthew 23, verse 3. And Jesus said to them, "And therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say, and they do not." Brothers and sisters, it's nice to listen to me in a service like this, but it is more important to open up the Word yourself, to study your Word yourself, and see what the Lord wants you to do in your faith life. Don't look to leaders and other people and project, "Oh, if I do like Brother Him or Sister X or Brother Y, then I will be a good Christian." Look towards Jesus only. Jesus is clear about what happens if people act in their faith lives. Just think about this. You rise up early out of bed to give out tracts and flyers. You don't eat pork and unclean meats. You pay your tithes right on time. You sing beautiful in church. And then Jesus would say to you, "You have the faith as these people, but you don't act like them." And then He says, "Go away, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." The end result of people who are playing with their faith. Terrible! We're not here to show off. I'm not here to show off and say, "Well, Riley can preach." I only can preach to the power of the Holy Spirit because, to be honest, when I am in daily life, I stumble over my words. It's to Christ we can preach, it's to Christ we can sing, it's to Christ we can evangelize, it's to Christ, to Him alone. If we think we can do it ourselves, we're playing. And we see the dangers of playing in our faith, and with our faith. Matthew 23 from verse 27. "Woe you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Terrible, isn't it? People who know the scriptures, know the Word, and see how Christ deals with them. The sixth danger. Actually, it's ongoing from the fifth. Winning the world and losing your own soul. What does it gain to win the world and lose your soul? Some people enjoy in being active in church for exposure. Just as I said, they like to sing to be active. But Paul was clear to the Philippians. We must be humble as Christ was humble. Evangelism, faith in the Bible is about how Christ saved humans who cannot save themselves. It's to His power we can act. It's time to stop playing and start praying. And the last danger, I want to expose this one. Complacency. The biggest danger is that we think that we can, that we are righteous and that we have literally nothing else to learn. That we think of that we are in heaven with one foot almost, but that we are still unclean of heart and mind. And let's go to a well-known chapter, we all know this one, Revelation 3, verse 15, the letter to the church of Laodicea. Verse 15, chapter 3. Jesus writes to the church, of the before Jesus returns. I know thy works. Jesus knows what we do, and he knows how active we are, and he knows what we do. And he says, well, you're not even hot or cold or hot. And I wish you were cold or hot, because you are lukewarm and not cold or hot. I will spew you out of my mouth. A couple of weeks ago, I heard a sermon about this passage. Spew. Some Bible commentators say even vomit. The Lord distastes not being clear what your position is in your faith life. The Lord can do nothing with people who play. That's dangerous. It's dangerous if you are not even the one who knows that you are playing with your faith life. Verse 17, because you say, I'm rich and I'm crisp with goods and I have nothing to, in need of nothing, and know it's not the truth that they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Not knowing in what kind of condition you are. It's thinking that you're there in heaven, that you're as we're singing with the angels, and you're there not at all. What is complacency? The dictionary says it's being pleased, especially with oneself or one's merits, your own advantages, your own situation, often without awareness of some potential danger or defect, being self-satisfied. If you're playing with your faith, without your even knowing, you're heading on the way of self-destruction. There's a big danger if we are still playing with our faith life. Just as a day that I was still playing with my toys when I was young, I created my own little perfect world. You can remember those days very young. In my days, my perfect world were trains that could fly through the air. Boats that fly through the air. It's my little own conjured up fantasy world. It was perfect for myself. I could find enjoyment in it. But it wasn't reality. And we need our eyes to be opened for the reality for which it really is. I don't know if you are looking to the news regularly these days, but you cannot tell me that something is going on. We are living in the last days. Do you see how much turmoil the world is right now? Are we only, let's say, our eyes open for the moment when we see, oh, there's a big disaster in Japan. I need to read my Bible. After 2 weeks, we stop reading our Bibles. Oh, the economy is going bad. After weeks, the spirit prophecy. 2 weeks later, well, I'm going to get to my own room. It's time to examine ourselves. Remember what Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what word? The word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. If you play yourself deceiving yourself. We have listed up until now 6 dangers, and we're busy with the 7th. What are the dangers? Not seeing things for what they really are. But secondly, if you're playing with your fake life, people don't take your warning seriously. If you're playing with your fake life, thirdly, that won't save you how good you're playing. Because God wants our hearts, fourthly, and not our acting skills. Because otherwise you'll be keeping yourself out of heaven and preventing others to enter it. Then you'll be only thinking about winning a world and you'll be losing your own soul. But complacency, saying that you're A-okay and you're actually not, is maybe the most dangerous of them all. Even while being in Sodom, those scribes in Jesus' days, we often lead optimistic lives and we are generally happy and content with ourselves. With all the comfort and the luxury that we have, all the self-sufficiency and the false sense of security. But prosperity will eventually breed corruption and destruction if you're living a self-conscious fantasy life. In one dictionary, a Bible dictionary I've got, it says the following about complacency. A complacent presence leads to a disastrous future. Don't congratulate yourself for the blessings and benefits you now enjoy, because they are from God. If you are more satisfied with yourself than with God, then you have a problem. Remember that everything is meaningless without Jesus. A self-sufficient attitude may be your downfall. If you play with your faith life, you won't see that Satan is playing with your life circumstances. You won't see that Jesus is coming back soon. You won't be prepared to receive the latter rain. Why? Because you not see that you need to be saved. Because you think that you are almost perfect. And you go into the same situation as been described in Thessalonians 2. The last piece of my sermon. That you won't see what is that you're being in self-deceit. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse chapter 2 verse 10. With all kind of deceitful ambition and unrighteousness for them and parents, because they have not received the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God will send them in strong delusion that they should believe the lie. If you believe your own fantasy, God will eventually say, if you believe your fantasy, believe it. If you believe you are playing, well, believe that you're playing. Only those who want to be converted in mind, body and spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit, those people will come to the realization that they need the eyes off of Jesus. That Jesus is knocking at the door and say, I want to die with you. And those people will open up. Stop playing. Playtime is over. Let Christ in your heart, so that they may turn to Him. May Christ enter our hearts, and may He finish the good works that He began with us. And that we stop playing with our faith, because playtime is over. We know, brothers and sisters, we know that Jesus is coming soon. We see it through the signs of the times. It's time to be aware of the dangers of playing with our faith. It's time to let Jesus enter our hearts, and that we may be like-minded with Him. It is now the time to stop playing. Why? Because Jesus Himself, when you see these things happen, saying to us, look above, because your redemption draws nigh. Let again turn our minds, hearts, and hands towards Him that created and recreated us. It's time to lean, brothers and sisters, it's time to lean on the everlasting arms. Amen.